Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. Welcome to Rosie on the House. This is our 7 o'clock hour, our Arizona Hour, where we feature interesting Arizona people, places, and things. If you could take your mind back 152 years ago, put you right in the middle of confrontation with Apaches in southern Arizona, which led to the 1867 U.S. Army development decision to build Fort Crittenden, named after its first commander, General Crittenden. The camp itself was located adjacent to Fort Buchanan and would serve as a refuge during the Apache raids up to 1873 when the fort shut down because malaria from all the mosquitoes. Must have been a wet monsoon. Just part of the rich Arizona history in southern Arizona, our featured staycation destination of Patagonia, Arizona. Beautiful setting between the Santa Cruz and the Cochise Mountains. It's one of our favorite parts of the entire state. And we've got a great interview lined up today. Rosie and Jennifer have brought in a special guest from Liberty Wildlife Refuge to talk about their service and their role in Arizona's wildlife.
Good morning. Rosie and I just finished a wonderful, wonderful tour of Liberty Wildlife. And if you haven't heard of Liberty Wildlife or you haven't been to Liberty Wildlife, you need to listen in and find out what you're missing. This morning, we are here with Laura Hackett, Director of Education?
Education Facilitator.
And Liberty Wildlife has been around for how long, Laura?
We've actually been in the Valley since 1981.
You know what? I think a long time ago, Liberty Wildlife started in a home, in a neighborhood, and it was very close to our house. And at the time, our kids were young, and I was a Cub Scout mom, and I invited them to come to the house, and they brought an eagle and a snake and a couple of things. The kids just thought it was amazing. So are you still doing that type of thing?
We definitely are. So our mission is to be a hospital for the native wildlife that need it, but we also do have some animals that are non-releasable, and we use those for educational purposes. So we go to schools and community events, and now that we have this larger facility, people can actually come to us as compared to when it was a small facility and we really couldn't have any visitors.
So you really couldn't. I remember it was just a house kind of foreboding with all overgrown, and if you had a critter, you just walked up and put it in the window, and you didn't get to see what happened afterwards, but that's not the case anymore. So can you just kind of tell us the journey of Liberty Wildlife, whose vision it was, how we ended up from a little house in the mid-Scottsdale to this fabulous facility?
Yeah, we had an amazing founder. She just retired and after many, many years of good work, so she's deserved that retirement. But her name is Dr. Kathy Orr, and she's a local veterinarian and was working with the Humane Society at the time, eventually worked with the Phoenix Zoo. And people knew her as a veterinarian for all these other animals, but they would find wildlife and say, this wildlife needs help, this injured skunk or this sick bird, and they didn't have anywhere else to take it in 1981. And so she opened up her own backyard near Scottsdale and Shea. She had about an acre and a quarter of land. She was raising llamas, so she had some space there. And she built Liberty Wildlife that year, 1981, and had about 80 animals come into her that year with the hopes of rehabilitating them and releasing them to the wild. What happened over the next 35 plus years was more and more people heard about us, started bringing more animals to us. We got more volunteers. And more people moved into the valley, and so there was less space for some of these animals. So by the end of 2016, even way before that, actually, we had fully outgrown that small location. And so we did open the doors to this new facility in 2016. And now we have just about 6 acres here. And so we have our hospital, but now we also have the ability to have an education wing and have people come visit us.
And so you have a whole vision of sustainability. And the building itself is beautiful, covered in barnwood and lots of concrete, you know, kind of nestled right into the desert, right beside the Rio Salado River. Do we call it a river?
Yeah, it's a river.
Okay. And that itself is full of critters. And so right here next to that, though, where everything happens, talk us through what it's like when someone brings an animal to you. It needs to be a native animal, correct?
Yes, we take in all sick, injured, and orphaned native wildlife. So anything that you're going to find in your backyard, pretty much, if it needs treatment or care, we'll take it in. We have staff here, volunteers here, 365 days a year. And so we work similar to a human hospital, where something happens to a human out in the play yard and an ambulance comes and picks them up, or somebody gets brought to the hospital. Same thing with us. We have hotline volunteers that you can call and ask for help of what to do if you find wildlife, and they'll tell you either bring it in to us or we'll send a rescue transport volunteer out there. So that animal comes to us, and we've got a triage room, much like a human hospital. Things are stabilized there. We have volunteers, again, that are doing that work for us. They've gone through some extra special training on site where they learn how to stabilize the patient and come up with a game plan for how we're going to treat it. And then we've got an ICU room where the animals are taken care of until they then get to move to a pre-release enclosure where they can then build their muscles up. Because if you think about it, if a human gets hurt and is in the hospital and in a cast for a couple weeks, you don't just say they're healed and let them run a marathon. You have to give them a chance to regain that muscle. And so that's what our pre-release enclosures are. And then the part that's been happening lately is the rewarding part. Our volunteers are getting to release these animals into the wild right now.
Rosie and I got to stand in a big run. What do you call it? Just a big enclosure,
yeah.
A flight enclosure.
Flight enclosure.
And Laura scared up the owls. There must have been a dozen of them in there from one end to the other. So she had Rosie and I stand in the middle, and they just came whispering by us. So we'll put that up on Facebook this morning. It was really a really special moment. Do you have a lot of problem with people bringing in things they shouldn't? How does someone know? They should probably call you first, right?
Yeah, our hotline volunteers are amazing, because during the busy season, which is baby season, they are fielding calls nonstop, and they've got 2-hour shifts where they're answering phone lines and calling people back to help people know what to bring in and what not bring in. A lot of times it's babies that are just alone right now because the parent has been scared off or the parent is going to get food. So baby bunnies a lot of time get bunny napped. I know some of the other facilities that work with larger animals say the same thing about deer. Baby deer are left alone by their families. So if you see something, even a bird that's fallen out of its nest, if it's not injured, a lot of times we will tell people to put the bird back in its nest and observe to make sure that the mother comes back. There's an old wives' tale that if you've touched a baby bird, the mother won't come back because it'll have smelled humans on it. And that's just what I said, an old wives' tale.
I taught my kids that.
Oops. Well, now you can all learn something, right?
Teach my grandkids something now, right? I think people would be surprised to know how many critters come through here and how many volunteers it takes to take care of them.
Yeah, we started, over 35 years ago with just over 80 animals, and we've continued to grow. And every year we hit a new record, thinking we can never get more. And so 2018, we took in 9,454 animals. And so at the end of 2019, we are approaching that number already, so we're probably going to go over it again. But we do live off of the fabulous volunteers that help us. There's only 6 of us that are paid full-time to be here running the organization every day, but otherwise we have about 250 to 300 volunteers that are helping with every aspect of our job.
How do you guys get your funding?
We are solely nonprofit, so all of the money that we receive comes from the general public, grants potentially, but it's really the local people who are donating to us. And it's amazing to see people find wildlife in their backyard, drive miles and miles out of their way to bring it to our window. And then we generally ask, can you help out monetarily? It's amazing to see how many people will pull out whatever they have in their pocket or take a credit card out and help that animal.
Well, you do make it very easy to drop off. It's just a little bit of a drive south of the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. Drive down a little road, pull up into this really nice parking lot, and there's a little special parking where you can just get out and deliver your little critter. And today, Rosie, we saw baby turtles. Those are the smallest desert tortoises I've ever seen. What are they, like 2 inches?
Yeah.
We saw, I said it different. You said it, what is it, Kodamundi?
Kowatamundi.
Saw a Cody. There you go.
Yeah.
Save me. Let's talk about some of the different types of species you've taken in and maybe some of the most interesting.
Babies that we start getting in the year are generally the hummingbird babies. And so they're super tiny. They're usually by the end of January, we're starting to get them in. And it's really cute to watch them, how tiny they are. And they're learning how to fly, and they go to the little nectar feeders that we have. And then we see throughout the baby season more and more species rotate through. So you'll get the owls and the hawks and eventually herons. We'll get doves all year long. So most of the time we're talking birds here, but we do take everything in, anything that is found in your backyard. So the very first animal that we took in here at our new location in 2016 was a baby bobcat. And it was about 6 weeks old, already very wild and knew it didn't like people, had been left behind by its mom or taken from its mom, we're not sure. We were not quite equipped at that point to take in a bobcat, but luckily we have a great relationship. We were talking about partnerships earlier with Southwest Wildlife, and they have some adult bobcats, and they act as foster parents to these orphans that come in. So we brought that. We'll also get some unusual ones. We've got a couple that are coastal birds that get blown off by the monsoons. So we get pelicans every year.
No way. I have never seen a pelican here.
The brown ones get blown off course. We do actually have some white pelicans that live in various pockets around the valley throughout the year. But we've worked with SeaWorld Rescue to get them back home and back released out into the wild. We've had people bring deer into us. We can't take anything more than 300 pounds. So no bears yet, but we've had a couple of rattlesnakes that have come in and other kinds of snakes. And we can take most of them. Sometimes, though, we will work with Phoenix Herpetological Society, too, to give some of the more dangerous ones over to them.
What's your favorite one? Do you have a favorite? Can you say it?
We're not supposed to have favorites. Oh. I do have a favorite, probably from each grouping. So in the reptile section, there's a gopher snake that we have that's in our education team now. And he came to me when I was still a volunteer on my medical shift. And he was tiny, and his entire body was stuck to a glue trap. So I was the one that got to help get him off of there. And he had a lot of sores on his body from that. And eventually we decided we couldn't release him back out into the wild. And we named him Elmer after the glue trap.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back and talk some more with Laura Hackett.
Facilitator.
Education facilitator at Liberty Wildlife. And we got some more to tell you.